I've been thinking about my dad a lot over the last couple days. The reason why is he's a Vietnam War veteran. And you guys know what tomorrow is? Veterans Day. You know, tomorrow's a day that we remember those who serve and have served our country. You know, many of us don't know what our veterans have experienced. Some of the crazy stories my father used to tell me would literally kind of scare me. Now, for those of us in this world, we don't understand war like they did in World War I, World War II, or Vietnam. We just don't know. So when a vet walks down the street, we don't salute them. Sometimes we don't say hi to them. But Veterans Day is a day where we should all remember who and how these men and women have fought for our country. Now, Veterans Day was formerly known as Armistice Day. It was originally set as a U.S. legal holiday to honor the end of what war? World War I, which officially took place November 11th, 1918. And that's the sermon. Crickets. Okay. Since the start of World War I in 1914, little did you know that around the world there have been 17 major other wars that happened. This includes World War II. The total number of civilian and military deaths in World War I is almost 40 million people. All this happened in a little more than 4 years. That's 10 million people that died every year between 1914 and 1918. The total number of civilian and military deaths in World War II is over 80 million people. From 1939 to 1945, in 6 years, 80 million people died because of this horrific war. That's 13.3 million people every year. So go to 1 Peter 5:8. We do need to honor those who protect our country and work hard among us. 1 Peter 5, in verse 8. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. During World War II, an estimated 6 million Jews were killed during a war in what is called the Holocaust. This is disgusting, despicable. These suffering souls were killed in tragic ways, and we can't even imagine. Gas chambers, starvation, they were worked to death, tortured, covered in diseases, bodies dead above the ground. Millions also killed by random executions. The Nazis would line up these Jewish people and count. 1, 2, 3. Poof. 1, 2, 3. Poof. 1, 2, 3. Husband and wife right next to each other. Baby, mom right next to him. The devastation of the soul in those moments would haunt any man. 2.7 million Jewish people were killed in 1942 alone. That doesn't include all the other casualties that were happening around the world outside of the Jewish people. In that hour, the urgency of the Nazi army was alarming to wipe out an entire people. But praise God that the urgency of the rest of the world at that point was needed and fulfilled. Amen? Amen. So from 1914 to 1945, only 25 years, 120 million people were murdered, killed. Because the world is at war. If you calculate that, that's 4.8 million people that were killed per year. And if each of those souls were worth one penny, that would have cost us $1.2 million. Is a soul worth a penny? What fight are you battling? What war are you a part of? This happened less than 100 years ago. This isn't ancient history. This is recent history. This happened in some of your lifetime. This happened in our parents' lifetime. This isn't something that we go, oh, that'll never happen again. The world has been at war, and it has been since the beginning, and it still is. It's been ever since sin entered the world that we've seen the rejection of God and the world at war. We have an enemy, the scriptures say, that is more urgent than any Nazi leader and army on the world. We have an enemy that wants to devour each and every man and woman and get them fighting the wrong battles so that way he can devour them. He wants you to fight worldly wars so that way you don't fight the spiritual one. He wants you to be divided, bitter, upset about how somebody hurt you, so you go and you fall into sexual morality and impurity. He has devoured you. Because you're so focused on the world's war that you forget about your spiritual war. You can't blame any other man for your lack of soberness when it comes to the spiritual war. We have an enemy, and I cannot express it enough. He is urgent to kill you, and not only kill you, but to ravage you, to rape you, and kill you over and over again. Are you listening? This enemy will never relent. He'll never pull back. He'll never give up. He'll never quit. This enemy is stronger than you, better than you, smarter than you, knows the Bible better than you, so you better have a heart that's ready for the war. This enemy is always in your face, waiting for you to slip up. In Matthew 4, 1 through 11, he tempts Jesus himself multiple times, even using his very own word against him to trick Jesus Christ. Satan fails, but that shows the boldness of your enemy. Revelation 12. In verse 7, when war broke out in heaven, Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. Can you believe that? Revelation 12, verse 7 says that Satan fought against God himself in heaven. He fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of our Messiah. Right here, my Bible says that the kingdom of God comes with salvation and power. The kingdom is you. And I, the kingdom is his disciples. The kingdom is his living church. Are you powerful? No matter how weak you are as a disciple, you're powerful. No matter how weak you are, the Bible says you have the authority of the Messiah. We have nothing to fear but God himself. And God himself is our commander and our leader. And Jesus is fighting our battles right alongside us. Even when you sin. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down. they, the kingdom of God, triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of their testimony, they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them, but woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. Are you in the world's war, or are you in the spiritual war? Because if you're in the world's war, you are in trouble. You are fighting the wrong battles. You cannot beat cancer. You cannot beat death. Only Jesus can. And if you shrink back, you die with the world. Satan is urgent and he's desperate. And when you're desperate, there's nothing you won't do to get what you want. And it has been hundreds and thousands of years, maybe, where Satan has said, I want to kill you. I want to ravage the people that God made in his image because they remind me of Jesus. Every time Satan looks at your face, he hates you because you remind him of God. And you remind him that you take away his power. He knows Jesus won, but also knows that those who fall away are devoured. He knows that those who do not have faith will not live. He uses your sin against you to convince you that you're not saved. He uses temptation to hurt you and draw you out. He even talks to God about your failures. Do not listen and do not pull back from your mighty God. Push forward. The only way to overcome is through the blood of the Lamb, the testimony you have about him, and never shrinking back. You close off your heart, you shut your mouth, and you shrink back. You lost the battle. Frank Hines is a true man of God. Amen. This man does not shrink back. He doesn't want to hear his name. He doesn't care. He's not feeling better when I mention him or not. He has no care. He cares about the souls of men being saved. And it's all over his face. It's all over his life. This man has given up everything multiple times. And he does not shrink back. Even though in Miami he's gotten many battle wounds. Rejection. Phone number they don't respond. People hurting him. Even within the church he's got fight back. In the church, people look down on Frank. People look down on you, maybe, but that's human nature. I'm gonna get into that later. But this brother has shared with hundreds and hundreds of people since he's been here, hundreds, maybe even thousands. He's spoken the word of God to thousands of people. He may be a sinner, but he's a soul winner. He still keeps his heart open to firm correction from younger men like myself. And he gives it as well. Because his mouth never closes. And he rushes into battle every single day to save men like you. Women like you. He sees that there are battles that still need to be fought. And he is bringing people to Jesus every day. My brothers and sisters, let's honor our hardworking brother, Frank Hines. You guys might be confused because Jesus already won the war. But wars are won, but there's still battles to finish. You still have a battle to finish in your lifetime. There are still battles for you to fight. And it is not time to close your mouth, shut off your heart, and pull back. It is a time to open your mouth, open your heart, and push forward. My title is my only point. Win the battles in this generation. Luke 21 in verse 10. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will seize you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and put you in prison, and you will be brought before kings and governors and to all this on account of my name. And so you will bear testimony to me. But make up your mind not to worry about how you will defend yourself. For I will give you the words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers and sisters, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. Isn't that heartbreaking? That some of our families want to kill us. They hate us, they persecute us, they break us down because we fully commit to Jesus. And we don't close our mouth, we don't close our heart, and we push forward when we shouldn't in this world war. But in the spiritual war, we always do. Everyone will hate you because of me. Disciples, you're afraid to share your faith because you're afraid of rejection. Well, you should stop trying to be liked because the Bible promises that you will be hated. But not a hair of your head will perish. Stand firm, and you will win life. Win the battles for this generation. This war, this battle, is a battle to save the world from your enemy, the devil. And today, right now, you got to get up off your seat and stop fighting the wrong war. This isn't some kind of psychotherapy lesson I want to give you. I just want to wake you up. Our faith will carry us. Our hearts for God will help us. And the Spirit of Christ will lead us. We do have a real dream. We live for a purpose. And it is not to maintain or survive in the church. It is not just to not lose the battle. We have come to win the battles. We have to have it in our hearts, a burning desire to love God and save one soul at a time. You have to care for your own people enough to love God and love them like Jesus would. You know, just like the Nazis held prisoners that they hated, the devil holds the world captive because he hates them. I want to talk a little bit about our new brother, Deontay. Deontay was in the prison camps of Satan. This young man just could not overcome temptation of the enemy. His lifestyle was filled with immorality, drunkenness, and sin that you couldn't even believe. You look at him, you think he's the nicest guy in the world. Well, he is. But do nice guys always get to heaven?
Nope.
I think this young man did not believe in God enough at that time. So he was plagued by many sins, fear, doubt, and he just could not overcome the hurdles in his life. But God sent a messenger. God sent multiple messengers into his life. Over and over again, text, call, text, 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 call, text, call. And the brothers in the campus went behind enemy lines. Picture after picture on that WhatsApp, you saw this young man transform from who he was to who he became. We fought through rejection, hurt and pain to see Deontay enter God's kingdom. The power of the enemies was not more powerful than God. We saw Deontay baptized last week. Now, he was not just a fizzled out baptism as some believe he was going to be. That breaks my heart. That we are afraid to save someone because of the likelihood of them falling away. Shame on us. Shame on us. If I would have given up on Deontay, if the brothers would have given up on Deontay because of the fear of him falling away, what about the chance of him staying faithful and leading thousands to Jesus? This young man is fighting the war in God's army to save more souls to Christ. Deontay sees his need to be more urgent than the enemy in multiple ways. He's already been in multitudes of Bible studies with men that he's never met. He's just in there. He's like, wow, this is awesome. His conversion took forever. He was just afraid to fail. But he soon realized that as disciples, we can never fail. Last week, he found out that he was withdrawn from his classes due to something that happened within his family. Heartbroken, Deontay gets open with the brothers immediately. His mom bought him a flight for this Wednesday to return to the Bahamas January 6th, and comes back on January 6th. He comes to us on Thursday night, heartbroken. We're heartbroken. We're like, oh goodness, please God. He was urgent. He said, no, I know I won't make it. I have to do something. I need God and I need his people. I need Jesus. I need the kingdom. Isaac and I prayed and prayed and we talked and we talked and we said, you know what? We have a proposition. And we sat down yesterday and we just opened up two scriptures that I read in the sermon today. And he said, I'm willing to stay. And the brothers all pulled together on the campus and we said, we will buy your ticket in the middle of December and we'll fly you back in the beginning of January. And he says, I'm willing to do it because I see the urgency of my relationship with God. His brother, Matthew 6:33, seek first his kingdom. Luke 19:10, seek and save the lost. Deontay is a true disciple who is urgent about God's purpose. He wasn't afraid to lose relationships in his family because he knows the promises of God will happen. But we have to fight this battle no matter the cost. Get urgent about the Spirit's direction in your life. So turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. One point, and it is the title of the sermon. First Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 1. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. How about it, disciples? Throughout your living, is it all about peace and safety? Are you knowing, Gnosko, intimately knowing that God is coming back anytime now? This is a scripture we all must take very seriously and with hope in our heart for those who stay faithful to Jesus. I want to challenge each and every one of you who are not in the light, who have hidden sin. Now is the time to expose it all. Now is the time to repent. Now is the time to come to Jesus because you do not know when it's your time or Jesus's to come back. It's time to get urgent, and I want to speak to those visiting today. Last week, in one moment, 12 souls were killed through one man's decision to fall into the devil's schemes to fight the wrong war. One moment, one man, bent on murder, killed 12 unsuspecting victims. And one sudden moment, these 12 people who were living their life were killed. I'm speaking to you, because if you're in the mall here in Florida and this happens to you, are you saved? Have you been saved? Are you holding back? Are you too prideful, too stupid to drop your ego and pick up the cross? Are you too afraid of what mommy and daddy will think? Are you too afraid of the battle ahead? Well, you got an enemy that's devouring your arm right now. He's telling you, you have time, but you walk out of this building, who's to say there's not a bomb in this room right now? Who's to say that when we walk out of the building, we don't hear the horn blast and we see Jesus coming through the crowds? It is too late. And you are playing games with God's time. Real men love God. I don't care how big your muscles are. I don't care what your past was or how hard it was. I only care about your soul. And you're wasting your time. You know, I felt like when I was growing up, nobody thought I'd do much with my life. I always felt that way. Maybe it wasn't true. Nobody actually told me that. But I guess when I was 20 years old, after I fell under the most massive sin of my life, I felt like a failure. I was an Eminem wannabe. I had just robbed a house. When I was reached out to. And this little skinny little twerpy guy, "What's wrong with you?" I said, "What's wrong with you? It is nighttime and you're approaching me. Do you know Jesus?" "You mean the Jesus that all my party friends talk about? The one, the Jesus that they're all talking about, even though they're condemning me for being an unbeliever, but they're doing the same things I'm doing? That one?" "No, not that one." 20 minutes later, this guy has a hardened sinner of sinners bawling his eyes out talking about Jesus. He gets my number. I'm freaked out. I go upstairs, and I just cry. It had been a hard life, and I was just grateful that somebody cared. This brother never gave up on me. I pushed him away. He called me. He texted me. And one day he calls me on a Friday night. And he says, "I'm downstairs. Come to Devo. Finally, just come to Devo." And I came. Studied the Bible. Just a normal guy. Nobody thought much of him. In the world, fought the wrong wars. I got baptized March 18, 2007. I've been fighting these battles for 11 years. And I do not regret one of them. I may have lost a few of them, but the war is already won. So no matter where you come from or where you're going, it only matters if you're doing everything you do for Jesus. I may have been a failure to God's eyes or to the world's eyes, but never in God's eyes if I chose Jesus. And that's what decision I made. And today I've been able to plant churches, help with mission teams, marry a beautiful woman, have a baby, and help many souls come to Jesus. And there is no better war to fight in. And I just want to inspire you guys that are studying the Bible. This world does not need any more leaders. It needs no more Donald Trumps. It needs no more Martin Luther Kings. It needs no more inspirational speeches about veganism. It doesn't need doctors, and it does not need physicians more than it needs disciples of Jesus. And for those of you who are leaders in the world, are you leading in the kingdom? Are you doing something for God that changes the world spiritually, or are you just changing the world, which is always going to be at war? Your fight is an unwinnable battle. Yeah. You're leading for no reason. Now, again, keep your secular jobs, amen? But do it for Jesus. Yeah. If you're doing something powerful in the world, but not for the kingdom, there's an issue in your heart because you see the wrong battle. Yeah. These are those who have yet to been saved. It's time to get urgent about salvation because the world is lost and so are you. And we do not have time left to wrestle with such an easy decision. It's either live or die to live. Your choice. Let's get right with God. Now get baptized and join the King's army and win the battle for this generation. Now let me talk to the current members. Almost done. Revelation chapter 3. I'm not talking to the new members as much as I am the old members. But in verse 1 of Revelation 3, to the angel of the church in Sardis write, These are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Hold it fast and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know what time I will come to you. Christians and disciples, on the day of the shooting, did you have in your heart the urgency of Jesus, or were you dead inside? Did the shooter kill more people than you shared the gospel with? Have you been living your life in a spiritual lie that over the past week you have told less people about Jesus than that man killed? And are you okay with that? If a murderer is more urgent about killing than you are about saving, you're not a disciple of Jesus. And you need to change your heart and get restored right now. And that is a command in the Lord. You're too focused on the physical war than on the spiritual war for souls to be saved. In one moment, any disciple bent on salvation can save 12 hurting souls, any one of you. You are the kingdom. You are the disciples. It is not a time to shrink back. Can you give me 5 more minutes? Satan knows how powerful you are. He knows the presence of the Holy Spirit, and he wants you to be lukewarm and bitter at the decisions of the church. He wants you to get all caught up in the communication of how things break down in the kingdom than you are about preaching the gospel. He wants you to get hurt and pull your heart back. He wants you to hate your brothers. He wants you to look down on your sisters. He wants you to give up and go home and pack your bags and stop worshiping Jesus. Is that you today? Miami, you've been through the ringer. Many of you have been wounded at war, and you're tired, you're weary, and you've got your white flag in your pocket, ready to wave it. But before you do that, let me tell you something. It is because of your faith to come here that many souls have been added and will be added to God's kingdom. Little old you, individually and congregationally, it is your faith. Because you've decided to fight the battle that have held many captive their whole life. If you got baptized or restored in the last 5 months, please stand up. Please stand up. Restored as well. Place membership. Come on up. I want you to stay standing. Mario, Damien, Alex, Leslie, Jeannie, Deontay, Max, Juan, Evita, Nora, Jeremy, Wilson, Susie, Natasha, Tyler, and Kiara, your battle was worth it to us. You guys can sit back down. But it does take a battle to win these souls. And our battle is worth it. And to close out, I want to first talk about a speech called St. Crispian's speech. It's about a war that was about to happen, and the other side was too powerful for the current army. And there's two people talking, and this guy named Westmoreland says, "Oh, that we now had here but 10,000 of those men in England that do no work today." The king says, "What's he that wishes so, my cousin Westmoreland? No, my fair cousin, if we are marked to die, we are enough. I am not covetous for gold, nor care I who doth feed upon my costs. It yearns me not if men my warm garments wear, such outward things dwell not in my desires. proclaim it. That he which hath no stomach to this fight, let him depart. His passport shall be made, and crowns for convoy put into his purse. We would not die in that man's company that fears his fellowship to die with us. This day is called the Feast of Crispian. He that outlives this day and comes safe home will stand a tiptoe when this day is named. And rouse him at the name of Crispian. He that shall live this day and see old age will yearly on vigil feast his neighbors and say, tomorrow is Saint Crispian. Then will he strip his sleeve and show his scars and say, these wounds I had on Crispin's day. Old men forget, yet all shall be forgot. But he'll remember with advantages what feats he did that day. We few, we happy few, we band of brothers. For he today that sheds his blood with me shall be my brother, be he never so vile. This day shall gentle his condition. And gentlemen in England now abed shall think themselves accursed they were not here. And hold their manhoods cheap. While speaks that fought with us upon St. Crispin's Day. Join the battle. If 120 million people were killed in 10 years, how many people can be saved by you making the decision to fight the battles in this generation? Our church is quite the church. We've grown from one church of 42 disciples in 2007 to planting over 95 churches planted around the world and have over 7,000 disciples on all populated continents of the world. We are fighting the battles, and 7,000 of them have already been won. God is moving. And let me ask you, are the souls of this world worth every penny you've got? With every prayer you can give, with every minute you live, are they worth it as you were? The battle is raging, and we must fight it. Special missions is the cost of this war. It is absolutely necessary that each of us remembers that we already made the sacrifice when we got baptized. Because now it's to die to live. And we must not pull back from the Atlanta church being planted. We must not pull back from doing even greater things together as a family. To close out, I want to thank you guys for everything that you did over these last 2 weeks. It was amazing bonding with Adrian, OJ, Ted, Jack, and all the Bible Talk leaders and many of you. But I want to thank Matt and Helen. For fighting the battle. No matter how hard it gets. I want to thank you guys for coming back home. And I want to remind you that having you here is like the person I'm unworthy to tie your sandals. Untie your sandals. And I want to inspire you and to kind of remind you of all the people that you've impacted. I want to remind you that this battle is worth it. And that there are thousands of souls in Miami alone that are waiting for you to fight this battle. Thank you for all the heart you've poured out into TNI. We can't wait because a sword for Gideon and a sword for the Lord. Keep fighting the battles. And family, let's all fight together. Let's win the world and this generation. Thank you, and God bless.